ग्रशावहे ओम शांति शांति शांति। वी स्टार्टेड द सेकंड मुंडका फर्स्ट सेक्शन सेकंड सेक्शन एंड दिस सेक्शन आई टोल्ड यू इज द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट सेक्शन ऑफ ऑल द सिक्स सेक्शंस द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट इज दिस सेक्शन ऑफ ऑल थ्री चैप्टर्स द सेकंड चैप्टर द सेकंड होल मुंडका इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट I told you, and here this section has many Mahavakyams. And I explained to you already what a Mahavakyam means. Vakyam, sentence, a statement, and Maha means big, a big statement. So great declaration is a Mahavakyam. What is a Mahavakyam? What is a big statement here? When I say this section consists of Mahavakyams, a Mahavakyam is a statement which reveals the identity between you and the Lord. The identity between the individual and the total. Wherein the individual is equated to the totality. A statement which reveals the non-difference between the individual and the total. The statement which reveals the identity between the individual and the total is what? Mahavakyam. So, we have many Mahavakyams. I'll in between and show you how Mahavakyams come here. And next thing I told you, the whole of the first section, last class I repeated, listen to this, whole of the first section of second Mundaka, I told you what is mainly discussed in the first section is the meaning of the word Sat. Remember now, the meaning of the word Sat is mainly discussed in the first section. What is the meaning of the word Sat? Existence, isn't it? And you say existence. What is existence? Existence is the nature of reality. Existence is what? Nature of reality. For existence is what? Brahman. Isn't it? Brahman is existence. When you say the meaning of the word Sat was discussed means, how do you say the whole existence is? What is existence? Existence of what? Existence is the nature of the reality. When you say existence is the existence of the universe. Prapanchatin irupu. Isn't it? Existence of the universe. Remember I told you, the whole jagat can be reduced to one thing, what? Nama and rupa. Entire universe is nothing but name and form. The entire cosmos, which is a constituent of so many name objects, isn't it? Is what? Nothing but Nama, Rupa. Everything can be reduced to Nama, Rupa, name and form. When you say time is, what does it mean? Existence of time is. When you say space is, existence of space is. All the objects are, when you say, existence of objects is. That existence is always what? Anything is. Isness is existence. There's no object outside of existence. And the existence of everything is what actually Brahman. Existence of everything, that I told you, existence is one, existence is eternal, existence is independent, and existence is what? All pervasive. Remember these things. What is existence? Existence is one. Existence is one. With everything. Like every wave, what is one thing? Waves are many. What is one? H2O. Isn't it? What is H2O for the wave? existence of the wave is H2O. Is it clear now? Similarly, existence of the whole Jagat, when you say, existence is one. Remember this, I'm repeating this. If I don't need to repeat, you have to come and tell me. Tell, explain here. Who can do that? Is there anybody who can come and tell you what I taught last class? Then I won't repeat. Who can come and tell here? So listen to me, I'm repeating. Existence is one. Existence is one. There is no second existence, isn't it? No. There are two existences. Can you say that? You have to think well, because I'm making it very, very clear. We can't say there are two existences. Isn't it? Existences of many things you can't say. Existence of one thing is, existence of many things is. Existence is always one. You have this all for you to, because we don't study every day here regularly. We meet once a week, I have to repeat. Existence is one, and existence is nityam. Existence is permanent, eternal. Existence is always. Is it? It is eternal. How do I say existence is eternal? Existence does not undergo any change. Existence is always there. There is no time when existence is not. There is no place where existence is not. Therefore what? Existence also is eternal. Existence is independent. Existence does not depend upon what exists. Isn't it? Whatever exists. Book is, existence of book is. Book is not, still what? Existence of absence of book is. Existence is, exists always with something what is. So existence is what? Independent. Existence does not depend upon an object what is. And that existence is also what? All pervasive. How do you say all pervasive? There is no object which is not, it is not with. Existence of book is, existence of lovers is, existence of space is, existence of time is, existence of whatever is, which is the object which is not with existence, tell me. Which object, subtle or gross, perceptible or imperceptible, a time or space, which is that? Which is not with existence, which is outside of existence, tell me. Nothing. For existence is all pervasive. Existence is one. Existence is eternal. Existence is independent. Existence is all pervasive. Isn't it? And this existence, which is one, which is eternal, which is permanent and which is independent, which is all pervasive, always experienced with objects. As what? Existence of book, existence of light, existence of color, existence of sound, existence of taste, existence of something. Existence is always experienced as existence of something. Isn't it? But that, what is that existence? That existence is what? Brahman. But how to know all these objects are what now? Nama Rupa. If we say book, what is book? A gross form. Nothing but Nama Rupa. Isn't it? Sound, what is that? Name of a given form of an object, isn't it? Given object. Taste also is what? A word, name of a given form of object. It's all Nama Rupas only. Therefore, an existence plus Nama Rupa, name and form, is equal to what? Universe. Like what? Remember the example? H2O plus name and form, ocean, is equal to what? Ocean. What is ocean? Tell me. Just the name and form alone is ocean, or plus water it is ocean. Ocean means what? H2O plus Namarupa is ocean, isn't it? H2O plus Namarupa is ocean. H2O minus Namarupa ocean is what? Pure H2O. Is it clear now? Pure H2O. H2O, okay, the ocean, the Namarupa ocean minus H2O is what? Somebody told last week zero. Isn't it? Nothing. Therefore, what now? What is H2O with reference to ocean? H2O plus Namarupa ocean is equal to ocean demand. Isn't it? Like that, what is this cosmos? Pure existence plus Namarupa is what? The cosmos. Pure existence plus the Namarupa is what? The universe. So pure existence minus Namarupa is what? Pure existence. Isn't it? When you say minus Namarupa, it is what? Minus Namarupa Jagat is pure existence. This is what we studied in the previous class. And the whole of last section was what? For pure existence. Say, pure existence alone is there in the form of the Jagat. Inseparably. Just as the water and the ocean are inseparable, the existence of the universe and the universe, the Namarupa, is just inseparable. Isn't it? If you analyze this very simple example, I've been repeating it. When you say H2O plus Namarupa ocean is equal to ocean. Ocean itself means what? What are all the things you see in the ocean? What is that which constitute the ocean? Pure H2O plus the name and form ocean. Isn't it? Is it there or not? Now remove H2O. The Namarupa is what? Namarupa is, isn't it? Namarupa do not have any substantiality. They do not have independent existence. Isn't it? It's the same way, what I'm saying, the pure existence plus Namarupa is what? This cosmos. Pure existence plus Namarupa is this what? This Jagat. So, if you remove pure existence from the Jagat, what is Namarupa? Jagat, the Namarupa, does not have any substantiality minus pure existence. Is it clear now? Doesn't have existence at all. This you have to remember. Therefore, when you say the entire ocean is H2O, when you say, similarly, the whole Jagat is existence, pure existence. What is the pure existence given the name? Brahman. Isn't it? Why existence is given the name Brahman? Because pure existence is of the nature, existence is of the nature of limitlessness. Because time-wise limitless, existence always is there. There's no space where existence is not spatially limitless. And pure existence is what? Object-wise also limitless. Because there's no object which is not, which is outside of existence. Is it clear now? Therefore what? Existence is Brahman. And that existence, what is the pure existence? And we want to know exists pure existence minus Namarupa. Pure existence plus Namarupa is the cosmos. So pure existence minus Namarupa is what now? We want to know. How to know? We have to close our eyes. Close our minds. What is there is pure existence. Isn't it? I mean, if you simply close the eyes, you can't understand pure existence, isn't it? So So that is what, that pure existence is available, is pure existence, is nothing but pure consciousness. Pure existence is pure consciousness. And pure consciousness, isn't it? So to know what is pure existence is pure consciousness. Why is used the word pure minus namarupa? Isn't it? When you say wave, it is what? H2O plus namarupa. H2O minus, isn't it now? When you say wave minus namarupa, wave and wave, what is there? Pure H2O. Is it clear now? See, pure means you have to understand this. Similarly, the minus namarupa jagat is pure existence. That pure existence is pure consciousness. And that pure consciousness, you know, if without understanding what is pure consciousness, there is no way of understanding the pure consciousness being the pure existence. Is it clear now? And to know what is pure consciousness, the pure consciousness, to, when you say no, I mean you have to know, it means it is not an object, it is not available for objectification, it cannot be, it is unknowable as an object, it is available for knowledge only as the subject of knowledge. Isn't it? So subject of knowledge is knower. Therefore, knower is available for recognition only in one's own buddhi, in the cave of mind. That is why we saw that the last section, isn't it? Have you got the steps now? Upanishad. So any sentence which says the existence, Brahman the existence, okay, is the of the universe. Existence of the universe, Brahman, is what? Pure consciousness. And what is that pure consciousness? That pure consciousness is available for recognition as the knower. Not as an known, but as the knower. Subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. That knower is who? You. Knower is you. When you say, no, the what that knower, isn't it? You are that knower. And who, you are the knower, you are not the object of knowledge, you are the knower, subject of knowledge. And that knower is who? Who the knower is? Knower is consciousness. You are the knower, knower is consciousness, therefore you are consciousness. So you, consciousness is what? Existence. Therefore what? You are Brahman, the existence. Is it clear now? You have, this is how Upanishad develops it. The statement says, you are Brahman, is a Mahavakyam. So anything which conveys the same thing that the word Brahman is what? The Mahavakyam. So we read this. This we need to know. Avisannihitam, avisannihitam, guhacharam nama, mahatpadam, atrayetat samarpitam. Okay, this is the main words of the mantra. Look at this you have to by heart, okay? You have to just have it, get it thorough. Avisannihitam guhacharam nama, avisannihitam guhacharam nama, mahatpadam, mahatpadam, atrayetat samarpitam. So he says, look at this, mahatpadam, when you say, mahatpadam means, this mahatpadam is what? That in which everything is placed. The absolute abode in which everything is located, in which everything is placed is what? Mahatpadam. What is that in which everything is placed, everything is located? Brahman. Isn't it? What is Brahman, you know? What is that? Existence. Pure existence. Isn't it? All the Namarupas, all the objects of knowledge, are nothing but just forms and names. Names and their names of the forms, isn't it? All the objects of knowledge, you have to reduce all the objects of knowledge are nothing but names and forms. And all these objects, the names and forms are located where? The name and form is located where? Isn't it? Only in what? All the names and form. The name and form wave is located in water. Is it not outside of water? Where do you see the name and form wave? Tell me. In the water. Where do you see the name and form the river? In the water. Where do you see the name and form chain? Good. Locus, isn't it? That's called abode. Is it clear now? That's called padam. So the whole jagat, all the objects which constitute the jagat are nothing but names. Ariyappadu porugal anaitum verum nama rupangale. How will you say that all the objects which are names and forms are located where? In Brahman. What is it, Brahman? Pure existence. Isn't it? Therefore, that's said what? Mahatpadam. That Brahman is what now? What is that now? Sannihitam. Sannihitam. It is inseparably, closely placed. Sannihitam. What is that now? Sannihitam means where? You know, guhacharam. It's always invariably present in the mind. Guhacharam means what? Like I can say, tarangacharam is what? H2O. When I say H2O, it's the tarangacharam. That which moves in the wave. Invariably present in the wave. The wave, namarupa, goes and comes. What is invariably present is what? H2O, isn't it? Similarly, invariably present in the mind always is what? Guhacharam. In which mind? One's own mind means you have to understand, not another somebody else's mind. I see the Lord in others exist, others' minds. The kadayella odakudad, isn't it? It's all stories. I see the Lord in everything. First you see the Lord in yourself, then you can see the same Lord everywhere. Without having seen the Lord in, isn't it, one's own mind, and is trying to see the Lord, of course you can simply say that. It's nice. It's a fact actually. Isn't it? But it is not an ununderstood fact. Isn't it? When you say that fact, ununderstood fact won't be of any use. Isn't it? Anyway. So here, that's why guhacharam. Inseparably, it is placed, and where? In the one's own mind, invariably present. And what is that? What is that which is inseparably, closely placed, and invariably present in the mind? Avihi. Avihi means what? The pure consciousness which is of the nature of knowledge, isn't it? The reality which is of the nature of self-revealing, self-evident consciousness is what? Is there invariably present as the knower of the mind, isn't it? And that is what is what? Inseparably closely placed also. This talks about what? Chitpada Artaha, the first sentence, Avihi Sannihitam Guhacharam, that sentence is what now? Highlights the meaning of the word Chit. Isn't it? Tvampada Lakshyartha. That is the implied meaning of the word Tvam is pure, the Chit, pure consciousness. The pure consciousness is revealed by what? But the sentence, Avihi. Isn't it? And where is the Avihi? Guhacharam, in the mind, which is invariably present in the mind, closely, inseparably, you know, as all the sense powers, the whole being. Isn't it? Sannihitam. That consciousness is what now? Mahatpadam is consciousness. Avihi. Avihi is Mahatpadam. It's a Mahavakyam. Whenever you say Chit is Sat, Asat is Chit, it is a Mahavakyam. Isn't it? Whenever you say Chit is Sat, or Sat is Chit, it is a Mahavakyam. It reveals the identity between individual and the total. When you say Chit is Sat, Chit is what? Consciousness. Where do you know that? In your own mind. As what? As the knower. Isn't it? That's the content of the word I. And Vahud, isn't it now? That knower consciousness is what? Is the pure existence, the Sat. What is Sat? Existence in which the whole Jagat is placed, Mahatpadam. Is it clear now? This is how you have to understand Mahavakyam. Tattvamasi is a very clear Mahavakyam, isn't it? But these are all Mahavakyams presented differently. Do you get it now? You have to Mahatpadam, Brahma, the existence in which everything is located, is what? Avihi. And where do you recognize that Avihi? In Guhacharam, in one's own mind. Have you got it now? This is a Mahavakyam. Avisannihitam Guhacharam Nama Mahatpadam. Say now. Avisannihitam Guhacharam Nama Mahatpadam Atra Yetat Samarpitam. And he just says, to say Mahatpadam is equal to the word next to Mahatpadam is what now? Satpada, the Tatpada Lakshyartha Pradhanam Vakyam. Tatpada Lakshyartha is what? Sat. Tatpada Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word Tat is what now? Pure existence. Isn't it? Implied meaning of the, if you see the book, you can't forget anything. Implied meaning of the word Tat is equal to pure existence. That is Mahatpadam. Mahatpadam stands for Sat. Avisannitam Guhacharam, Avihi stands for Chit, is enough. Avihi is equal to Chit, Mahatpadam is equal to Sat. Is it clear now? So he says, Avihi sannihitam guhacharam nama, the chit, the consciousness, which is invariably present in the mind, which alone is in closely placed there, that chit, the consciousness, is nothing but sat, the existence, which is mahatpadam, the abode of all the beings. Is it clear? Then, we have to say, afterwards, Atra yetat samarpitam. In that alone, everything is there. What is, he says, what? No, next is very simple sentence. Ye jat pranat nimishat cha. He says, ye jat pranat nimishat cha. The cha stands for what? All the non-living beings. And ye jat pranat nimishat stands for what? All the living beings. When I say all the living beings, I don't want to talk about again. Okay, you have to read the book and understand. Yejat, that which moves, that which, you know, breathes out, breathes in, that which wings, isn't it? That means all the living beings, all the sentient, living, animate beings are what? Are implied by Yejat Pranat. Yejat Pranat Nimishat. When you say, and also what? All the non-living things. That is implied by what? He says, Sad asat, say no? Sad asat. So when you say sad asat, generally the word sat and asat means differently. Satyam and mithya, isn't it? But here sat and asat means, in this context, understand the word sat and asat give different means in different contexts. Generally, sat means absolute reality and the asat means mithya. But here sat means those which objects which have forms and the formless object. Asat means formless. The gross, tangible, isn't it? The objects which have forms are said, meant by the word sat. Asat means what? Those intangible, subtle, invisible, isn't it? Imperceptible, subtle forms are what now? Now asat. So sat, asat, all of them, not the non-living being things, all the living beings, all of them, then, that is what is what? All of them are atra samarpitam. All of them are located in what? Brahman, the existence. Isn't it? All of them are located in Brahman, the existence. Pure existence. And the pure existence is what? Avihi Chit. Isn't it? So, after other sentence, other words explain the existence only. And that is Varenyam. Varenyam. Varenyam means Varaniyam, that which has to be chosen as an absolute end. It's called Varenyam. And that, therefore, that which has to be accomplished ultimately, that reality, wherein everything else is located, all these things are located, that reality is what? Invariably present in one's own mind, inseparably with the entire being. What is that? Pure consciousness, which is self-existent, which is self-revealing, avihi. And he says what? Therefore, that is param. No, prajanam vijnanat param varishtam. This is the exalted reality. Is the exalted. Why? There is nothing greater than superior to that. And he says, prajanam vijnanat param. It is beyond even the knowledge of all the beings, isn't it? All the beings have knowledge, isn't it? It's beyond the knowledge of beings. That means what? Beyond the knowledge of beings means you have to understand that is that reality, how it is beyond knowledge of everything. The knower is what? Different from the known. Knower, without the knower, there cannot be knowledge. Without the knowledge, there cannot be known. Look at this. Can there be the known without the knowledge? Tell me. Can there be the known without the knowledge? Is it possible for the known to be there without the knowledge? No. Isn't it? The known is dependent on what? The known is possible only if there is knowledge. Knowledge is possible only if there is knower. Isn't it? And the knower is not dependent on knowledge for the existence. Isn't it? Knower is not dependent on even what? The known for its existence, whereas knower is independent. The knowledge and the known are dependent on the knower. That knower is what? Pure knowledge, the consciousness. Therefore what? Vijnanat param. See, knowledge of any object is what? Para aparavidya, isn't it? Knowledge of an object is called aparavidya. And knowledge of the subject is what? Paravidya. Isn't it? Therefore, the subject in knower is what? Different from the knowledge, which is object of knowledge. Is it clear now? Therefore, the knowledge which rises in the mind as a thought also is object of knowledge only. Because you know what you know. Isn't it? You know what you know. You know what you do not know means what? You know what you know means your knowledge also is object of knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore what? This is the knower, the consciousness is in fact different even from what? The knowledge which takes place in the mind as a thought. Therefore prajanam, this vijnanat param. This beyond knowledge means what? Beyond knowledge means it is different from even the knowledge. The knower is the one who knows the knowledge. Isn't it? The knower is the one who knows the ignorance. Knowledge being there is known, knowledge being not there also is known. You see, that knower is what? Knower is awareness. Knower is consciousness. Isn't it? So he talks about all these things. Then he says, well, Vijnanat Param. All of them, Atra Samarpitam. What is that? What is that which is, you know, Mahatpadam? That Mahatpadam, where do you know? In your own mind. As what? As the knower. Isn't it? Avis Sannihitam Guhacharam Nama Mahatpadam Atra Etat Samarpitam Ejati Pranati Nimishate Cha Sad asad varenyam Param Vijnanat Yad Varishtam Prajanam. So, having said this, we'll go to the next one. He is going to repeat the same thing now. Yad Archimat Anubhyaha Anuhu Anubhyaha Anuhu Cha Yasmin Lokaha Nihitaha Lokinascha Tad Yetad Aksharam Brahma. Okay. What tad yetad aksharam brahma? You see, look at this now. Tad yetad, all these words are used again. It, that indeed is that imperishable, indestructible reality. Isn't it? What is that imperishable, indestructible reality, Brahman? Isn't it? Aksharam Brahma, pure existence. Now you have to remember, I don't need to explain to you again and again existence, isn't it? When I say indestructible, imperishable reality, limitless reality, Aksharam Brahma, when you say indestructible, imperishable, isn't it? Reality is what? Pure existence, Brahman. Limitless reality is what? Existence. Pure existence. That pure existence, what is that pure existence? He says, Yasmin, say no?
Yasmin.
Lokaha.
Lokaha.
Nihitaha.
Nihitaha.
In which alone, Yasmin, in which reality alone, Lokaha Nihitaha. Please do understand one thing. I am not repeating. Shastram repeats. Okay? Shankaracharya repeats his bhashyam. My teacher repeated. I am repeating. If you think it is boring and it is your immaturity, it is not my problem. Yeah. Okay. Yasmin Lokaha Nihitaha.
Lokaha Nihitaha.
See, Lokaha Nihitaha. Look at this. Nihita means located, placed. Placed. All the worlds are located. The world, the word Lokaha means, literally means world. Lokaha, all the known and the unknown worlds. If at all you talk about heaven, etc. Look at this. Heaven is brought as an object of knowledge in this Upanishad. Upanishad says, hey, heaven is not the absolute end for us. Isn't it? Look at this. It says, Lokaha. When you say, it's a plural word. The word Lokaha is a plural, isn't it? All the known, known world, isn't it? Also unknown worlds, even if you talk about heaven, etc., all the worlds are what now? Lokaha. And then one thing I don't know. Lokaha itself means Lokyate iti Lokaha. That which is seen or perceived, known is Loka. So Lokaha means what? An object of knowledge. Isn't it? Lokyate iti Lokaha. What is Lokaha? That which is known is Loka. That which is perceived is Loka. That which is seen is Loka. This is Lokaha means object of knowledge. When you say all the worlds and all the objects which constitute the worlds also are what now? Lokaha, all the worlds, all of them are located. The entire ocean is located in H2O. The world of ornaments is located in gold. The world of ornaments is located in gold. Placed in gold. Isn't it? Like that, the whole world, all the worlds of objects, isn't it? Is located where? Placed where? In the Brahman. Tad yet the aksharam brahma, imperishable, indestructible, isn't it? Limitless reality, the pure existence. In that existence alone, all the worlds are placed. And then not only the worlds. If the worlds are placed, what about the lokinaha? Lokinaha means what? Those who, the inhabitants of the worlds. Isn't it? The inhabitants of the worlds are also what? No. Lokinaha. When you say inhabitants means what? All the living beings and also the non-living things, isn't it? And all the movements, all the actions, all that which is part of the jagat is what? All the objects of experience, isn't it? All of them are what? Lokinaha, lokaha. அனைத்து உலகங்களும் உலகில் இருப்பவை அனைத்தும் பரம்பொருளே இருக்கின்றன. Isn't it? They all are located in that, placed in reality. தத் ஏதத் அக்ஷரம் பிரம்மா. யஸ்மின் லோகாஹ நிஹிதாஹ. Not only லோகாஹ, லோகினஹ ச, and also the inhabitants of the worlds. That Brahma, he says what now? The Brahman alone is what? Pranaha. Brahman is what? Saha pranaha. Isn't it? That prana, the breath is what? Brahman. Pranaha. Tad u vak manaha. Vak, the speech. Manaha, the mind. Mind which is subtle, imperceptible mind. Isn't it? Invisible mind, imperceptible mind, which is subtle, which is internal, is Brahman. The walk, the speech, which is expression of the thought, that's also Brahman. It's also placed where? The speech, the word, is not outside of existence. The thoughts are not outside of existence. Thoughts are not outside of existence. Walk, manaha, isn't it? Walk, Brahma, manaha, Brahma. Manaha, Brahma. Pranaha, Brahma. The breath is what? Isn't it? Brahman. He says, Tad etad satyam. Tad etad satyam. That reality is alone is what? Satyam. That Brahman alone, the pure existence alone is satyam. What is satyam? Here it says the truth, the reality. Pure existence alone is the reality here, truth here. What is the truth? That which cannot be negated in any time. Trikala abadhitam. That which cannot be negated at all any time. What does it mean? Trikala abadhitam satyam. That which can be negated any time, past, present or future. That which is always. How do you say? Time is, time existence is. Time is not, still existence is. How do you say? Isn't it? Time is not, still existence is. In deep sleep state, there is no time, there is no jagat, but still, what is there? Awareness is. Awareness of the universe being not there is. Isn't it? In deep sleep state, awareness alone is there. There is no jagat, there is no time, there is no, isn't it? But still time, that awareness is. That awareness is what? Actually the existence. Therefore, what he says here? Tad yetat satyam. Isn't it? Tad yetat satyam. That is the absolute reality which is free from time limitation, which cannot be negated at any time, which is imperishable, indestructible Brahman. That it is what? That is in, alone is the prana of an individual, the mind of an individual, speech of an individual. That alone is there as all the speech, no speech. And the minds and the breath of all the beings. Again it repeats what? Everything is Brahman. What is Brahman? Limitless reality. What is limitless reality? Isn't it the only reality which cannot be negated in any time, which is there even when the time is not? What is that reality? Pure existence. And what is that pure existence? No, in that alone all the worlds and the inhabitants of the worlds are placed. Nothing is outside of Brahman. See, this whole sentence for you. Yasmin lokaha nihitaha lokinaha tad yetad aksharam brahma tasaha pranaha tad uvakmanaha tad yetad satyam tad amritam, that is eternal, immortal, that is, the existence is not subject to any destruction at all. Isn't it? It is immortal. It does not undergo any change. You know, in Bhagavad Gita you must have studied, because you covered, finished second chapter now. Must be very clear, isn't it? There is no such thing called a total destruction for any object. Isn't it? There's no anything. Nothing is subject to any destruction. Nilayana ajivangirdi enda porlukum kadaiyadu. There's no such thing called total destruction. But there's something called destruction. What is it? That is only relative destruction. The relative destruction is what? Just the change, isn't it? The change is what? Death all is a change. But even such death is not, relative destruction also is not there for pure existence. Namarupa alone undergoes relative destruction, isn't it? But actual vastu is what? Does undergo any change. Therefore, death is a relative destruction. Death is nothing but a change, and change is a relative destruction. Look at this. Death is a change. Change is relative destruction. And relative destruction is for whom? Only for the nama-rupa. Isn't it? When the wave resolves, wave has gone, what happened now? What happened to the H2O? Nothing. But what happens to the nama-rupa wave? Changed. The change is what? Death of the wave, isn't it? And the death is what? Relative destruction. Why? Only the nama-rupa alone has gone. Relative destruction is what? Death. Whereas H2O, nothing happened to H2O. Similarly here also, nothing happens to pure existence. Isn't it? The nama-rupa undergo changes. The pure existence, nothing happens to pure existence, isn't it? So he says what? He says, that's why it's amritam, tad satyam. Say that now. Tad etat satyam. Tad amritam. Saha pranaha. Tadu vakmanaha. Tad etat aksharam brahma. Yasmin lokaha. Lokinascha nihitaha. Okay, that is Brahman. The immortal in that reality which is free from time limitation, which is that pure existence, Brahman. That Brahman alone is what? The prana is that Brahman, speech is that Brahman, mind is that Brahman. In that Brahman alone, all the worlds are located, placed, and all the inhabitants of the worlds are also placed. And what is that Brahman? He says, anubhyaha anuhu. Anubhyaha anuhu. Look at this. Subtler than this subtlest. Smaller than the smallest. It also implies what? Bigger than the biggest. Anuvikattalum shiriyad. Anuvilum. Anuvirkum anuvanadu. How will you say? Anubhyaha anuhu. Say now. Anubhyaha anuhu. We always think of what? My God, isn't it? Anubhyaha cha anuhu. When you say anubhyaha anuhu means subtler than the subtlest. Smaller than the smallest. It also implies, Ramadhar Upanishad says, Mahato Mahiyan. It is bigger than the biggest also, we can say. Why? Because reality, what is it? What is it which is bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, subtler than the subtlest? And in that subtlest thing, Lokaha, lokinaha. Amazing, isn't it? Lokaha, nihitaha. Lokinaha, nihitaha. Pranaha, Brahma. Manaha, Brahma. Look at it. Just by listening and listening and listening and listening, one day it will click. Tripyo, tripyo, tripyo. What are you learning every day? Pranaha, Brahma. Manaha, Brahma. Vak, Brahma. You know, Aksharam Brahma, Amritam Brahma, Tindat Brahmani, Yasmin that Brahma, Tasmin Brahmani alone, Kim, Lokaha Nihitaha, Lokinascha Nihitaha, and that is subtler than the subtlest. Anubhyahanuhu. How do you say Anubhyahanuhu? This is very important thing. Subtler than the thing, isn't it? What is that which is subtler than the subtlest? He says, Archimate. Say no? Archimate. Archimate, one word is what? Chitpada. Archimate is Chitpada Artha. Meaning of the Archimate means Archish means what? Archish means ray of light. Archish means light, radiance, effulgence, oli. Isn't it? Therefore, this is knowledge, pure. Archish implies pure knowledge. Archish implies pure knowledge. And Archimat means what? That which has knowledge. Archish is pure knowledge. Archimat means that which has knowledge. That which is in the form of knowledge. What is the form of the reality? Look at this. In what form is the reality? Isn't it? What is the form of the reality? The form of the reality is pure knowledge. Look at the form of the reality is what? Pure knowledge. Because the pure knowledge is the form of the reality, please listen to me. I think I'm not going to give Swamiji's books here after. You all started reading in the class. You have to go home and read it. If you read, you're not listening to me and you miss the thing. Because Swamiji says, you can under Swamiji's explanation, because edited book, you can go and understand better and listen to me. Very important. What is pure knowledge? See, reality is the pure existence. Pure existence is in the form of pure knowledge. So pure knowledge cannot be seen, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt, cannot be tasted, isn't it? And cannot be touched, cannot be conceived, cannot be thought, isn't it? Pure knowledge is not available for perception, thought perception or sense perception means pure knowledge is available for recognition only as the knower, isn't it? Therefore, what? What is the form of the reality? Architmate, pure knowledge. Isn't it? Self-revealing, self-evident consciousness, self-effulgent consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, is what? Archimate. Archimate means what? Consciousness here. Therefore, the pure existence is Archimate. So all Mahavakyams, understand now, all the words which talk about Sat is what now? Then the Sat is Archimate when you say, that is where? Only it has been known only in the mind. Consciousness is available for recognition only in the mind, as the knower. That consciousness alone is there as the existence of everything. Is it clear now? Therefore, archi, when you, my consciousness comes, means it is a chitpadartha. And sat is tatpadartha. Simple. And here he says here, that is anubhyaha anuhu. Now you tell me how it is subtler than the subtlest means. There is nothing which is subtler than the pure existence, which is pure consciousness, the pure knowledge. How do you say? Look at, learn, please listen to me carefully. Object of knowledge is not outside of knowledge. Is it clear? Very simple. Object of knowledge is not outside of knowledge. a knowledge which, what, where is knowledge? What is knowledge? Knowledge is in the form of a thought, isn't it? Knowledge of any object is in the form of thought. And where does this thought, the knowledge, exist? The knowledge is not outside of knower. Yeah. Knowledge is not outside of knower. Who is the knower? What the knower is here? Knower is awareness, consciousness. Isn't it? Now tell me, what pervades what? What is subtler than what? Knower consciousness is, what, isn't it? The knowledge, object of knowledge, subtle or gross. Now take it. Even something which can be seen through your microscope. Leave alone, even if that is gross only. Even your subtle thing which is available for thought perception. Isn't it? Objects of knowledge are, what now? Knowledge is subtler than objects of knowledge. Do you understand this? Knowledge is subtler than objects of knowledge. And knower consciousness is subtler than knowledge. Is it clear now? Therefore what? Anubhya anuhu. Why? Because you talk about the anuhu. What is anuhu? Atom. And then any particle. Any, no, anything, any object of knowledge. When you say, it is the subtlest thing you say. Come on. You talk about an object. This is the subtlest thing. A particle is subtlest. An atom is subtlest, you say. Isn't it? When you say subtlest, an object means what? Anything, but what is subtlest? It's already known, isn't it? Anything known as the subtlest is what? The known. Anything known as the subtlest is already the known. Isn't it? The known is what? Not outside of knowledge. The subtlest object, which is known as the subtlest, is what? Grosser than the knowledge. Knowledge of the subtlest object, subtler than the object. And knower of the knowledge of subtle object is what? Much subtler. Is it clear now? Knower is subtler than the knowledge. And knowledge is what? Subtler than the object of knowledge. If the object of knowledge is subtlest object, the object of knowledge is subtlest object. That's why anuhu. Subtlest object, you say. How do you say subtlest object? Because it is known. Where is it? Isn't it? Knowledge of the subtlest object is subtler than the subtlest object. Knower of that, isn't it? Object is what? Subtle, much subtler than the subtlest, subtler knowledge. Therefore, the pure knowledge, the source of knowledge, is the subtlest reality. Even the object is known as the biggest also is what now? Not outside of? No, object, the big and small, gross and subtle, they're all adjectives. All these adjectives describe only the objects. Therefore, all the objects, big, bigger, biggest, subtle, subtlest, small, smaller, smallest, gross, grosser, grossest, all the objects of knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge of the objects of knowledge is what? Much subtler. And knower is subtler than the knowledge. Is it clear now? That knower is what? Pure knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore, there's nothing subtler than pure consciousness. What is a pure consciousness? Pure existence. What is pure existence? The pure existence is in the form of prana, in the form of mind, in the form of speech. Pure existence is that in which all the worlds are placed. Pure existence is that in which all the inhabitants are placed. Isn't it? That because of which alone the whole jagat keeps going and coming. Therefore, what you should do now? He says, "Hey Soumya, oh my beloved student," the teacher says here, "Hey Soumya," okay, Soumya, manadirkku hitamanavane, asuran artham, na, oh pleasing one, a very sight of you pleases me, that's why, Soumya, vedhavyam vidhi, vidhi means what? May you know that reality. Okay, may you know that amrutam satyam aksharam brahma, isn't it? Amrutam satyam aksharam brahma vidhi. Vidhi is what? May you know. And how? Vedhavyam. That is what has to be struck by you. That is what has to be known by you now. Isn't it? Vedhavyam. Vedhavyam, actually what? That has to be understood now. That has to be known. See, he has been talking so much. Upanishad Guru it himself says what now? It has said, not had been known. He has been talking so much all these days. And he is telling the children what now? Vidhi. May you know that. Understand now? Vidhi means what? May you know. You have to know what? Vedhavyam, that which has to be known. Okay, oh, my dear student, please know that which has to be known. What is that which has to be known? Amrutam satyam aksharam brahma. What is amrutam aksharam satyam brahma? Yasmin lokaha lokinaha cha nihitaha. In which all the worlds and the inhabited worlds are placed. What that Brahman, which alone is there as individual prana, individual mind, individual speech. Is it clear now? That Brahman. And what is that? Anubhya anuhu. Subtler than the subtlest. He gives the clue. Understand now? And what is subtler than the subtle? Archimate, which is in the form of pure knowledge. What is pure knowledge? Nama rupa rahitam jnanam. Nama rupa rahitam sat pure existence. Nama rupa rahitam jnanam pure knowledge. Isn't it? Minus nama rupa. Pure consciousness plus name and form is jagat. Isn't it? So pure consciousness plus name and form is equal to pure existence plus name and form. Is it clear now? So pure existence, we have to say that pure existence minus namarupa is what? Pure knowledge minus namarupa. Do you get it? Existence is knowledge. Pure existence is pure knowledge. Sat is chit. That chit is sat, the chit, sat the pure existence, the chit the pure consciousness is in fact Brahman. That is what has to be known by you. Vedhavyam. Hey, my dear student, may you know that. Why you have to know that? It is answer for his question. What is his question? What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known? That means, why do you need to know the nama rupa? Know the reality, isn't it? Pure egg. Then, if you know what H2O is, you don't need to know about the name and form ocean. What is there for you to know about the name and form ocean? It's clear now? Similarly, know that reality, the whole jagat is, I will not say known, whole jagat is known as it were. That means you don't need to know. Is it clear now? Amazing, isn't it? That is why he is giving. I am very glad to know this. Whenever Angiras Rishi tells Saunaka Muni, Saunaka, Vedavyam Vidhi, he himself tells still, you know, having talked about so many verses, he repeats, look at this. Look at Saunaka Muni, Angiras Rishi repeats. That is why Upanishad study needs some sort of preparedness. Nobody is wrong, nobody is bad, everybody is fine, only it needs some preparedness, that's all. Anyway, so here, archimate, anubhyah anuh, cha, yasmin, lokaha nihitaha, lokinascha, tad, yetad, aksharam brahma, saprana, tadu, vakmanaha, tad, yetat satyam, tad, amritam, tad, vedhavyam, somya, vidhi. See, the beauty is, it is not that you have to, you know that immortal, eternal, isn't it? Amritam, immortal. Aksharam, imperishable, indestructible. Satyam, eternal. Isn't it? Eternal means what? Tikala Bharitam. That Brahman, that reality, where you know. In that reality alone, everything is placed. Nothing is outside of reality, nothing is separable from the reality, nothing is, isn't it? Nothing is, whatever is that Brahman. What is that Brahman? Subtler than the subtlest. What is that? Archimat, pure knowledge, consciousness, isn't it? And may you know that means, that Brahman is actually you. Understand now? Archimat, when you say consciousness, means that you, actually, you are the knower, the subject of knowledge. You are not an object of knowledge. Isn't it? You are object of knowledge. And then you, the knower, you the knower are what? Knower are pure consciousness. Isn't it? You are awareness, Brahman. That reality, once you know, you will know that is you. Brahman is you. Everyone has to know this. In fact, that reality is available for knowledge only as you, as the knower, isn't it? Now, we'll go to the next mantra, we'll read and we'll stop here because you had to go for a tea break. Before going to that mantra, I had to give some introduction also. See, on how to know that Brahman. The teacher tells, isn't it? The teacher tells how to, now you can relax and listen to me. But it's not. But I wanted to, when you come for the next class, first two mantras should come by, you should have it by-hearted, okay? Yade, archimate, anubhyaha, anuho. Is it clear now? You don't have books, Amma?
I will take.
Okay. No, if you don't have books, I'll give you.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Because whoever doesn't have a book, I want all of you to get the words. And then, you see, by the time you finish the section, you will see that it will go thoroughly into your head. Understand? See how to know that Brahman, the pure existence, which is the pure knowledge. The pure knowledge which is available for recognition as the knower, which is on as a subject of knowledge in one's own mind. Isn't this the very reality of the mind? How to know that? How to get that, isn't it? So, Upanishad has to present an upaya. Upaya, the means of knowing. Isn't it? How to know? Here I had to say, contemplation, I had to talk about, isn't it? And before contemplation, I had to say exactly what the two meanings I had to give for this. First, there's a simple meaning, then there is another meaning also. For this following verse, third verse. First is, you have to understand, the means of gaining the knowledge of Brahman is likened to an archery. The means of gaining the knowledge of Brahman is likened to an archery. In archery, there are three things involved, mainly, isn't it? What are three things involved in archery? Bow, arrow, target. This is the thing which has to be struck. Three things are involved. So here, the object which has to be shot, no, which has to be really struck is what? The object to be struck is, isn't it? The target stands for Brahman, the reality, Paramborul. And the arrow which has to go and strike that object, Brahman, isn't it? In fact, stands for the Jivaha. Jiva. You can say the mind, let's say the Jiva. Jivaha, or you can say the mind also, no problem. I had to explain to you what is Jiva here. There's another big problem I had to explain to you very clearly. And the bow, isn't it? Now, it just tell me, the arrow and the target, isn't it? Arrow has to go and reach the target. And if the arrow has to go and reach the target, it has to really go and strike the target, means it should be what now? How the arrow should be? Arrow should be, isn't it? Arrow needs a help to go and strike it. Arrow itself cannot go. It is the help, isn't it? And what is it which helps the arrow to go and strike that target? It's the bow, isn't it? So bow stands for study of the Shastram, represented by Om Pranava. The Pranavaha is Omkaraha. And here Omkaraha is said to be the bow, likened to the arrow. And Omkara stands for what actually? The study of the Shastram. Omkaraha stands for the study of the Shastram, represents. Isn't it? I'm giving the literal meaning first. I'm giving the simple meaning first. I'll give you another meaning later on. Study of the Shastram. Isn't it? Represented by what? Bow. Arrow is what? The Jiva, the mind. Isn't it? And target is what? Brahman. So the study, really speaking, the bow helps the arrow to go and reach the target. So the study of the Shastram helps the mind reach what? Brahman. In terms of knowledge. And here, the distance between the arrow and the target, Brahman, isn't it? The arrow and the target, the arrow mind, isn't it? Arrow the Jiva and target the Brahman, there is no real distance. Is there real distance? No real distance. But the distance caused between the mind and Brahman, the arrow and, isn't it? Arrow and the target Brahman is what? Pure ignorance, isn't it? It is notional. The notion. I am different from the Lord. I am different from the reality. I am different from the whole. I am different from the whole, isn't it? That is what? Expression of ignorance of the self, isn't it? The distance between the arrow and the target. There is distance. But here, between the Jiva, the arrow, and the Brahman, the target, isn't it? There's no real distance. The distance is notional. Only in the notion, I am different. I am distant is what? The notion. I am distant from the Lord. Now, Bhagavan is dooram arkem. No, I am far away from Bhagavan. Reality is what? I'm far away from reality. Isn't it? Where is reality? If I'm searching for reality, means what? Whenever you search for something which is not at all close to you, nearby you, isn't it? Sometimes you search for things which we forget, keeping it very closely also. Our Swamiji gives the example. I think many of you remember, no, that he holds a specs like this. Remember that he gave a talk last time also. Amazing. We had to get Swamiji, teach like Swamiji, it's impossible to get again. He puts his specs and he'll talk about it like this. Yeah, search for specs all over. Now what I'm saying here, like this, sometimes what is that in Tamil we say nei kai vechittu vennai kalish nei kalaira. Having the button in your hand, you search for the ghee all over. Therefore, there is no real distance between you and Bhagavan, you and Brahman, the reality. Isn't it? The mind and the jiva and Brahman, it is notional, it is the ignorance, there is the distance. Therefore, if the distance caused by ignorance has to be removed, for which, what is it which can help the arrow of mind to reach Brahman in terms of knowledge? No, but removing that ignorance caused by distance is what? Knowledge. Isn't it? So knowledge has to take place. What is it which will help? No? Here only the study of bow, the study of Shastra. So Shastra Patanam alone is what? Shastra Patanam really is implied by, represented by the bow. Shastra study is the stands, no? Bow stands for the Shastra study. If the Shastra study, proper, systematic, not really jumping here and there, reading that book and this book here and there, no. Proper, systematic, regular, consistent, isn't it? Study. With the same teacher also very important. Study is also what now? Actually, represented by bow. I guess the teaching has to work. The teaching has to be effective. Then what now? How should the bow be? Isn't it? The bow, how should the arrow be? The arrow is expected to be what? Sharp and straight. Arrow should be straight. Arrow should be sharp also. If the arrow is crooked, then Even the bow can help the arrow to go and strike the object, but still if it is crooked, if it is not straight, then it cannot go and strike the object. And if it is not sharp also, it is blunt also, what? It will not strike the object. Suppose there is no focus, is not there. Sometimes focus is, no, focus is here, focus is also elsewhere, means what? No, even then it won't strike. See, if the arrow, if the mind, if the jiva has to discover the distanceless between Brahman and the jiva, then definitely how the mind must be? The mind must be straight. The mind must be pure. The straightness of the arrow stands for straightforwardness of the individual. Isn't it? The arrow being straight means what? Straightforwardness of the individual. Straightforwardness means what? Implies, you know, being ethical. Isn't it? Being ethical, living a life of values. Then, this arrow must be sharp. That means what? That's it. Mind must be calm. Isn't it? Mind must be calm also. Steady. You shall be blunt. Then, when the arrow is placed, it must be struck, what no? In fact, it must be focused. The focus also must be there. 100% commitment to the pursuit of knowledge also must be there. Isn't it? If you are being distracted, or being, not being able to be focused is not a problem. It's not considered as a maha big crime or anything. It is natural for the mind to be distracted, not to be able to be focused. But here it says, if this is the object, if it has to be, it has to strike that, then must be, one must have focused attention, one must be mentally steady, one must be mentally pure, which implies living a disciplined, living a life of values. Isn't it? Until jnanam, it's a must. Isn't it? And then he says, it's very, very important for one to live a life of values. That is what is the arrow. Otherwise, even if the bow helps, arrow will not go and hit the target. Is clear now? Therefore, these three things, the archery is likened to here, actually the means of gaining knowledge of Brahman. This is the simple meaning. And here, this is a simple meaning, therefore, and here he says, in the following verse we are going to see later on, the pranavaha, omkaraha, is taken here. How one has to use omkara, as an object of meditation. So meditation upon om will help one to discover this reality. What is the reality? Pure existence. Pure existence is available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge. What is subject of knowledge? Knower. What is knower? Knower is pure consciousness. So existence has to be, pure existence has to be recognized only as pure consciousness, and pure consciousness has to be recognized only as the available for recognition is the knower. Therefore one has to recognize where? Only in one's own mind, and for which one needs to do what now? Meditate. Meditate on what? Om. What is Om? We'll see next class. Okay? Because Om is a big topic. Om is a very, very big topic. In fact, Omkara, I'll introduce in this Upanishad, you will know more about Omkara in Mandukya. After Mundaka, when we go to Mandukya, you will know all about Om. Of course, you will know here itself. This, you have to understand here to go to Mandukya. People know you can't just go and study Mandukya directly. Understand? This is the basic fund, basic Upanishad. Is it clear now? So, the means of gaining the knowledge of Brahman is likened to archery. In archery, three things are involved. Arrow, bow and the target. And here, Brahman is the target. Arrow is the mind, and bow is the shastra adhyayanam, shastra study. We'll see, I explain this next class, okay?